Good morning. This is Lydia Aranda. I'm here in studio, KVOI, with The Morning Voice and the Monday segment called Rainmakers. We are wrapping up a fabulous June. This is Monday, June 30th. Matt Neely, how you doing?
Doing okay. I'm hoping Rainmakers works this week.
Well, we're trying.
We keep hoping every week.
We think this might be our week to do it.
I think it will.
You know, it's coming, and boy, is it just the right time. 110 today. We're actually going to hit that.
Yowza.
Yes, it's a little yowza.
You think we're in the Valley of the Sun or something.
You would think.
Instead of Tucson.
Exactly. And the fact that, though right now we're enjoying not even quite 85, makes it for a beautiful morning. Lovely sunrises this morning, and ending a very busy month. June is now just about one for the history books.
Can you believe it?
It's happening, and so much going on at Rainmakers. Love to give a quick Rainmakers recap like we try to do at the beginning of every show. Most of our recent sessions and episodes have, of course, had fabulous guests from all over, running different organizations, holding office in different companies or on boards, and standing behind initiatives. And we've had such a commonality with an underlying theme of wellness, well-being. We had May that really celebrated women's health, and June that was celebrating men's health and men's mental health awareness month, along with so many other things. And I'm so excited that our guest this morning in studio is Mr. Dennis Walto. Dennis, how are you this morning?
Hey, good morning. Doing well.
So great to have you in here. And of course, for those who may not know, Dennis is Chief External Affairs Officer for Chiricahua Community Health Centers, Inc., and also wears the hat being the Executive Director, Executive Director, I got all excited about that, and also really the inaugural Executive Director of Chiricahua's Health Foundation.
That's right.
And doing such great work. And as I was just saying with Matt, and our listeners have been hearing over the recent weeks, that we've been talking about all these organizations who have some role in wellness. And it may not necessarily be medicine, so to speak, but maybe providers. We had the Community Food Banks of Southern Arizona in, and Kendall Foster, and he was talking about the impact to nutrition and the far-reaching impact, even all the way out to Wilcox and some other areas all across Southern and Southeastern Arizona. Chiricahua is in Cochise County, but I think has, in my observation, has had such an impact into many other communities, even outside of Cochise County. So we're really excited to have you here this morning, and all throughout the morning, we're going to talk a lot about what Chiricahua does, what you do in your role, and the way you interact with other organizations. But before we do that, Dennis, I'd love for our listeners to learn a little bit more about you. I've had the pleasure of knowing you for a bit, and a few years. We've come together in different summits and community gatherings and convenings that have to do with an awful lot of things that impact Southern Arizona. But folks may not know what I think is one of the most exciting things of your background. You have been here now for a number of years, but have this long background working globally in global health and other, I'm going to say, humanitarian and big social impact efforts. Tell us a little bit about your background, where that, you know, how that was, where you went to school, and how from that big global travels and multi-languages and multi-cultures, how you ended up then coming here to Southern Arizona.
Thanks so much, Lydia. And it really is great to be here on the Rainmaker show that later in the week will really generate the rain that we
That's
need.
That's right.
So,
we want to.
It will be fertile ground by week's end. So with most journeys to Cochise County, my own personal journey was a long and winding road. And it started, many years ago. I worked for 20 years in international relief and development, principally in Africa and the Middle East.
Okay.
And it was one of those experiences that really brought mission first and foremost into my life. I was working with nonprofit organizations such as Save the Children, International Medical Corps, CARE International. And the common theme really was, initially, I was a frontline humanitarian aid worker working in civil war and famine settings such as Somalia, southern Sudan. I was working in Rwanda post-genocide, in Burundi. So really kind of doing the frontline humanitarian aid work. And that was really an enriching experience because it exposed me to really the humanity that unites us and bonds us, even in communities that have been severely impacted by whether it's natural or man-made disasters.
Natural and man-made disasters come in so many different forms, and they really do have long-lasting impact, even if maybe something is only sudden or unexpected and might even be short-lived for the experience itself. It's all of those ripples and domino effects afterwards. I have to imagine that you never had a dull day.
No, there really weren't. Hardly a dull moment within those dull days. Eventually, though, that career did bring me back home. I was asked to be the chief executive officer at an organization called Children's Health Fund, based in New York. And it was an organization started by the singer-songwriter Paul Simon back in the mid-1980s. Mm-hmm. And this organization really was all about providing access to care for children who were disadvantaged in under-resourced communities. And it was a network, when I took over, of about 20 different programs in various states, 16 different states, District of Columbia and Puerto Rico.
Oh, okay. So lots of different, cross-sections and different combinations of cultures, ages, families, histories, things like that. And even in those communities that you just mentioned right there, you know, some very crowded urban areas as well as tropical and island and rural.
Yeah.
So everything in between. And when we're talking about children, I mean, the needs of children are far and wide. And I'm going to guess that you, to reference some recent guests that we've had, January Contreras, the CEO of Children's Action Alliance, and the work that Children's Action Alliance does here in Arizona, I'm going to guess that your background in advocating for children's well-being and for their health and care probably wasn't too much of a stretch for them to snag you to be on their Southern Arizona Advisory Council.
That's true. Very true. And it really is about coupling, you know, what you can do as an individual or individual organization, providing care, providing services, but then also being the voice of those who don't have a voice, disadvantaged. And that's a big part of your job, making sure that those voices are heard, whether that's at the state level, national level, or even international level.
Yes. Well, it sounds like you have just vast experience. I know that once in a while, in note exchanges or emails or even in a group setting, you've been known to speak a little Swahili. Or make reference.
Ndio, habari za ubui.
There you go. And I think that means yes.
It means good morning, but yeah, it's
good
okay.
Good morning. Oh, wonderful. I think just tackling languages, even that in and of itself, can be such a barrier breaker for folks who are in need of help and those who are reaching out their hand or whose daily work is to provide assistance. That just helps take the tension down, I would think, and really just bring people together to say, okay, now what are we going to do together?
That's very true. And it really says that you're making an effort toward understanding them and their culture and trying to meet them halfway, even if it is only or less than halfway, because mastering those languages. You know, when I was in the Middle East, I had the opportunity to get some schooling and training in Arabic, and I would be routinely, you know, putting that Arabic into use. There was one time, a very funny little story, where I was opening a conference and Her Majesty Queen Rania was, you know, there and present. Mm-hmm. And so the pressure was on.
Sure.
So I had memorized about a paragraph that I needed to do for the opening. But then at the end of that, I really just turned and almost bowed and said, I'm very sorry, Your Majesty, but this is about as far as it goes.
Well, but you gave it the effort and you showed the respect to saying this was something still in development.
Very much so.
That's wonderful. Well, all of that sounds so good, and I have so many more questions, but we are about ready to take our first break, so I'm going to give a little teaser to our listeners to stay tuned, because we've got lots more with Dennis Walto and Southern Arizona Wellness. And we're back. Listening to a little bit of the Brothers Johnson this morning. Thanks, Matt. That's another good one. You always pick the great ones with good beat. This is Monday, June 30th, and I'm Lydia Aranda, your host of Rainmakers. And we are here in studio this morning speaking with Dennis Walto. Dennis is Chief External Affairs Officer with Chiricahua Community Health Centers and also Executive Director of the Chiricahua Community Health Foundation. That's a mouthful. Yep. My caffeine is starting to kick in, so I'll get it by about the third time I say it all in a row. Dennis, it's so exciting to have you here. You and I have known each other for a bit, and we certainly have interacted in community, not always around things that have to do with health. Sometimes it's about our region. It's about international work. We participate with Borderlands Philanthropy and other convenings, along with many other organizations. I'm so excited to have you here so that our listeners can hear a little bit more about Chiricahua Community Health Center's mission. And we were speaking before the break about, in your long background and experience that has been vast in humanitarian and other care efforts all around the world, in many continents, and also from New York all the way to Arizona and everywhere in between, it sounds like you really have had an opportunity to take a good hard look at a strategic mission and then apply it as all kinds of dynamic aspects change. I have to imagine childcare and looking at the care of children is going to change neighborhood to neighborhood, much less state to state, and against a lot of backdrops where things may change in policy or may change in budgets or access, or whether a community is rural or whether they are very urban. How do you navigate all that, especially when what I think one of your strengths is in the development side of that, you know, kind of the putting together of stakeholders and resources and putting that into a deliverable?
You know, it's an interesting question, because it really does speak to the need. You've heard the phrase, it takes a village. Mm-hmm. And you have to acknowledge, whether you're an organization or an individual, that you're not going to do it alone.
Right.
And that it is going to take partnerships. It takes coming together to do together what you can't do alone. And that acknowledgement really opens up your world. It opens up, whether it's an organization, again, or an individual, to engaging, to partnering, to contributing. Mm-hmm. And as I was the CEO at Children's Health Fund, I had the opportunity in 2017 to visit Chiricahua Community Health Centers, visit Cochise County. They were one of the, I had built the program up by that point to 26 different programs.
Oh, wow.
Across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in coming here in 2017, you know, you walk into something that you're not quite sure what it's going to look like. You've read the reviews. Oh my God, it's a war zone. It's, you're on the border. It's going to be dangerous. It's this and that. And then when I get to Douglas, Arizona, here is this beautiful binational community.
And isn't it though?
Just gorgeous. And people working together,
mm-hmm,
in ways that were just incredibly impressive. Holistic care, whole person care, starting at the child, even before the child is born, and then all the way through as an adult. So it really made an impact on me, and it stuck in my mind. You know, of those 26 programs that made the Children's Health Fund Network, Chiricahua really stood out.
Wonderful. Gosh, well, I can see your attraction to coming out, and of course, less snow. Being down there in the corner there, you do get snow and ice, but less so than perhaps some of the other places. And then also not quite as hot maybe as some of the other deserts around the world that, right, you have been in. I joke a little bit from that weather aspect, but really weather makes such a difference. It has an impact on our community, especially our rural communities or our border communities, our agricultural communities, because the environment may come in spurts, if you will, being that there's so much space in between And folks are trying to navigate perhaps with fewer options of hospital or healthcare and doctors, fewer options of schooling, fewer options of job choice and career choice. And so there's a lot that's always happening that needs to be balanced, and providers, as well as community foundations and other organizations that provide support like yours, from those national 26 programs or locally, Chiricahua Community Health Centers. And my understanding is part of what then brought you out here was not just the programs that were in place, but the fact that then the organization was interested in making that leap to say, here's what we do on a daily basis in our community health centers, but now we want to have a foundation alongside.
Yeah.
And I think if I remember the story correctly, you said, they asked you your opinion, and you said, well, in order to do this well, let's not just do it and then figure it out. Let's start figuring it out so that we do it well.
Strategic
tell us about
planning,
that.
So important. So in even looking at coming into Cochise County, I'm glad that you brought up the environment, because the environment is really where you start. We're just, Cochise County, just south of Pima County, where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, though, here haven't even ventured that way. Maybe been to Bisbee once, but not necessarily appreciated that here is a county in Arizona that is 6,200 square miles. 6,200 square miles. It is larger than the states of Rhode Island and Connecticut combined. It's larger than 80 countries recognized by the United Nations.
Wow, I am sure that people would not be aware of that fact or think about it in that way. They just think wide open spaces and those kind of gorgeous places that make Arizona so wonderful.
It is. And, you know, all of the challenges, for example, that I may have faced overseas, whether it was in Ethiopia or the Republic of Georgia, you look at the health challenges globally, even if you were to look at what are the principal access issues for global health abroad, everywhere. And you look at a lack of healthcare providers. Cochise County, check. It is a health professional shortage area for medical, dental, and behavioral health.
Wow.
You look at
another trifecta of challenge.
It really is. There's very few healthcare providers. And then, you know, okay, well, if there are no providers, maybe we can do more telehealth. Cochise County has limited broadband.
That's right.
The
connection is very tough. Well, and being, first of all, just the open spaces, fewer access points to be able to provide that broadband. But then I think sometimes people really forget that when you live close to any kind of international border, north, south, side to side, Wi-Fi and other kinds of connectivity really gets limited. There are limits that say, you know, this will not cross a certain distance.
That's very true. And one of the partnerships that I immediately, you know, reached out and engaged with was Cox Media. And to increase the broadband access for communities throughout Cochise County. And they responded in a very, very positive way.
Wonderful.
They've been a real champion.
They really are. They make a huge difference to communities far and wide.
They do. And another challenge, though, is transportation. What public transportation means are available. But the truth is, in Cochise County, if you don't have a car, you're probably not going to leave your immediate community.
Mm-hmm.
So getting to the doctor, getting to the clinic, getting to a hospital is very challenging.
And when then there are just a few to choose from, if more than one, that makes it an even greater a greater need, a greater challenge to try to overcome. Because Bisbee, people might say, oh yeah, Tombstone, Sierra Vista, Bisbee, Douglas, they're all near each other. Well, they are, but that doesn't mean they're walkable in an easy way.
But that's what, you know, that was really the element that sealed why I wanted to come and work at Chiricahua. We turn no one away based on ability to pay. If you get to the clinic, you will be seen. And if you can't get to the clinic, we have a whole fleet of mobile medical units that literally go out to where people live, where they learn, where they work, where they play, and we deliver care right there on the spot.
And that is so important, being able to have the availability. There's access and availability once you get there. And I think the piece about reaching out and meeting folks where they are, meeting community where those needs need to be met, and finding those little pockets and neighborhoods or corners that aren't being served, or maybe aren't being served enough, or whether that means to the depth and choices of depth and breadth of services, or whether that means with frequency. All of those things take time, and mobile units are very, very important and can make all the difference in the world.
They help us go the extra mile, full stop.
I like that little play because, yes, sometimes it's several miles when you're talking about Cochise County. Well, and the communities are, you know, all over the place. Wilcox all the way to Sierra Vista, all the way to, you know, Benson and Douglas. You know, that's a pretty vast area.
I really look at Cochise County as global health at home.
I love that phrase.
The challenges that I faced overseas are right here in Cochise County. Mm-hmm. And the diversity, Sierra Vista and Douglas?
Super different.
Super different. Wilcox, add that rural, agricultural elements. Bisbee, you've got the kind of funky vibe going there.
That's right. So and old history and mining. Yeah. And then Tombstone, you know?
Tombstone, living history.
Living history, that's right. And such, and sometimes people just really think about that. We have on our Thursday show, we've got Tom Moulton who speaks about historic places in Southern Arizona and tourist attractions and tourism in general, because there's so many different types of tourism, medical tourism and vacation and all that. So Cochise County offers so much of that, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're getting ready for our second break. You're listening to Rainmakers on KVOI, The Morning Voice, and stay tuned. And we're back on Rainmakers this Monday, June 30th. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and my guest this morning is Dennis Walto from Chiricahua Community Health Centers and Community Health Foundation. Dennis, we were talking at the before the break about so many exciting things going on, not only with Chiricahua and kind of talking about the big role and the impact in a positive way that the health centers and the foundation have on community, not just here locally, but statewide and across state and across international borders. But I want to get back to some topics. You spoke about global health at home, and I know we talked about your international background and the fact that really anytime we're looking at strategies and impact and community, you know, that's just something that we look at no matter where you are in the globe, that paying attention to care really has a lot of domino effect. But tell me, let's unpack global health at home related to Cochise County as a region, related to Chiricahua Community Health Centers as an organization and purpose, and then what does that mean to Dennis?
Well, it really is the reason that I ended up coming to Cochise County. Again, looking at that concept of global health at home, what does that mean? Well, geographically, right, the 6,200 square mile catchment area, larger than 80 countries that are recognized by the United Nations. That's amazing. Cochise County is fiercely independent,
mm-hmm.
You know, outspoken, and just, you know, they have this live free or die kind of attitude. And that's very, very attractive. And then when you look at, you know, that as a culture, but then you start overlaying those challenges that I mentioned before, lack of healthcare providers, lack of transportation, lack of broadband access, and then an overlay of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those same strategies that I was using overseas are effective strategies in reaching people where they are with healthcare services right here in Cochise County.
Right here.
I look at it, you know, at some point you may hear about The Rock, and that is the Republic of Cochise County.
So the ROCC.
6,200 square miles of fiercely independent people.
Yes.
And, you know, who are willing to come together to address very global health type problems.
Absolutely. Well, I love it, The Rock. We hear a lot of acronyms and euphemisms all around our state when we are talking, first of all, about our state being, it may not be the largest state, but boy, do we have a lot of peoples, a lot of geography, a lot of space and approach, several indigenous communities and tribes, and all kind of industry here, you know, from each corner, and natural beauty, natural wonders as well. There are conversations that we hear about the great state of Maricopa and the rest of the state. Pima County often is called the great state of Pima and the rest of southern Arizona, kind of thing. And so now we've got the Rock, which is the Cochise County kind of talking in and among itself, and its relation to, I'm going to say, not just the state, but also to our neighbors in Mexico, to our neighbors to the east in New Mexico, and the like.
Well, one of the assets that Cochise County and The Rock has is Chiricahua Community Health Centers. We have an organization that is working every inch of that 6,200 square miles with a mandate that says no one will be turned away based on ability to pay.
Great.
So therein lies a principal asset and something many times I did not have when I was working overseas. I didn't have a Chiricahua to lean on and lean into.
Wow. That's a big statement, and not surprising, but the way that you say that really kind of puts perspective onto how do we, whoever the we are, tackle whatever need is right in front of us, and who do we look to, not just for resources, but for expertise, for availability, for timing, for continuity. It's one thing when there's a disaster and there's relief that comes from a whole number of agencies and peoples, but then what happens when the initial triage is over and the next wave? Well, there are fewer, still quite a lot of organizations who focus on that. I can think of IsraAid and many others. And then what happens when then that phase is gone? Does everybody just dissipate and the local community or country might be left to their own devices and have to rely on themselves alone? You know, all those things that come into play. And that's when there's urgency, when there's a disaster that needs to be tackled. When we're thinking about our communities right here at home, whether it be here in the streets of Tucson, or whether it's out in the county of Cochise and out in the farmlands out by Wilcox or some other area, we need to think about those things differently and really depend on each other, and that doesn't always happen easily.
I think that really lends itself to how Chiricahua approaches these global health challenges. Mm-hmm. And what I've observed and what we're practicing is a 3-I strategy. Number one, an insight. Give us a data point. Give us a look into what is the problem. What are we trying to address? Once we have that data point, the second I is innovation. What programming are we going to develop or bring in that will address the crisis that data point has demonstrated? And then number three, and this gets to the partnership, integration. Mm-hmm. We know we can't do it alone.
Right.
How will we integrate that strategy so that the impact is broader and adopted by more than just Chiricahua? So an insight, which is the data point and inspiration, the innovation, which is the program. And innovation is a funny word because some people think you need to think it up. And innovation can be something working somewhere else mm-hmm. that you bring home.
Mm-hmm.
And then third, integration. How do we make sure that this is a practice that is going to get bigger than Chiricahua?
Well, I like that you, what you put alongside insight, you also mentioned inspiration. What is the inspiration? What is the catalyst of why this is all starting to begin with? So it's almost 4 eyes, maybe 2 eyes in the first one. And I agree with you on the innovation part. It doesn't always have to be big and huge and phenomenal and unheard of. It can be disruptive in innovation, which is one of my most favorite kinds. It doesn't have to be just out on its own innovative. It can be, what are we doing in a system? How do we break this up a little bit or kick it up, kick the dust up a little bit?
I would love to use a couple of examples of how that strategy rolls
yes.
out. And one of them is the uncomfortable topic of domestic violence. Chiricahua has been responding and supporting survivors of domestic violence for more than 20 years in Cochise County. Mm-hmm. But when we took a step back and we looked at an insight that came from the Office of Women's Health, and that insight said, for a boy who sees his father commit an act of violence against his mother, that young boy is 10 times more likely to himself be a perpetrator of violence in a relationship. A girl who sees her mom a victim of violence in the household is 6 times more likely to herself enter a violent relationship. Mm. To us, that said, that was a wow. That was an aha moment that said, we've got to do more than just support survivors. So what's the innovation? Well, we need to start. Yeah, we need to start talking about healthy relationships. And where do you start that? Not at high school. Mm-mm. You want to do middle and even elementary school.
That's right.
So we've piloted this program that is reaching out into schools. But then we realized, as effective as that might have been, our scale isn't going to reach where it needs to. The integration component came when we approached Dr. Jackie Clay, who is at the Cochise County Superintendent of Schools, and found out that they actually had a healthy relationship component that we could tie into, we could add to. So we came together to do together something at much greater scale. And now it's going to roll out across all the schools through the entire county.
That is fantastic news, and never can have too much information early enough so that folks can learn or relearn or be reminded what good, healthy relationships are all about amongst each other, not just at home, not just about romance and partnering up in that way, but really among friends, among classmates, and really team building and all those kinds of things. Teaching all of that early really helps get at that. And yeah, you can't do it without the schools as a partner. And if that wasn't happening, then all of a sudden you didn't have to create it. You could leverage what was in place and help enhance it.
Integration. Now it's integrated into those schools are teaching. So that's absolutely phenomenal. And we're incredibly excited to have a partner like the Cochise County Superintendent's Office.
What a great example. Well, with that, we are back to our next commercial break. If you can believe it, boy, the time really flies. When we come back, listen up, because I want to talk about Davos 2026. And this is Lydia Aranda with Rainmakers. I'm your host this Monday morning, June 30th, and we've been speaking this first hour as we're listening to a little bit of The Best of My Love, which is apropos because we were talking about learning about healthy relationships with our guest, Dennis Walto, the Chief External Affairs Officer for Chiricahua Community Health Centers and also Executive Director of Chiricahua Health Foundation.
You nailed it.
Woo! Didn't even have to pause. I'm telling you, my caffeine was kicking in. And love that music. That helps get my brain going as well. Dennis, you know, it is so important to be thinking about healthy relationships and what that means. There's healthy, the physical side. There's healthy how we interact with each other. And I'm going to say wellness of community is about safe, sustainable, and scalable resources, opportunity to have resources for the folks that are living or working in the community, but also for those folks to be able to contribute. And you've touched on so many of those things, but I want to get to that little formula that you mentioned, the three I's of insight, innovation, and integration being a really good strategy of how you and Chiricahua are making a difference. Making it rain, so to speak, in Cochise County. Right at the break, I mentioned Davos because some of these things that you are doing and the experience that you individually have had and the things that you are doing collectively at Chiricahua has gotten the attention of a lot of different people over the years. I know that you've presented at the UN General Assembly in the past, but now you're going to Davos in January.
That's it's incredible. And of course, I'm going as a representative of Chiricahua to talk about how our work furthers health equity across the board. And, you know, again, reaching back to those three I's, these are strategies that we integrate into our own programming. So we have a program that is integrating vaccines into our dental clinics.
Wow.
It's something that the insight came from, you know, you remember back at the very beginning of COVID, mm-hmm. when a vaccine first became available, I mean, there was like a mad rush mm-hmm. to try to get that vaccine, to mm-hmm. get protected. And we thought, what was it that we did that helped meet that demand? We offered vaccines everywhere.
Right.
So we brought it back into the dental clinic. We review charts every night for people coming in the next day, and we're able to offer, whether it's an adult or a child, a vaccine when they're at their dentist's office. So they don't have to take another day off, so they don't have to
go to a different office or a different clinic. That's
so
right.
We are right there. So
that's great.
Has led to an increase, and this is incredible, a 20% increase in HPV vaccines year over year.
Wow.
That we are administering.
Isn't
we
that
interesting?
We are
preventing cervical cancer mm-hmm. every single day with vaccines at the dental office.
That is great, because people, even if they're reluctant to go to the dentist, they usually hold their appointments, or we like to believe that all of us hold our appointments, you know, at a regular clip. And much of, much of dental care is preventative. What you're doing to take care of your teeth and your mouth and your gums and all of that is to prevent disease, as opposed to cure something that has happened or fix something that has happened most of the time, not always, but same thing. And so the concept seems, when one thinks about it that way, very logical. It sounds like you are really making a concerted effort, all of you, and I say you, the collective you at Chiricahua, is really looking at those three I's to say, where do we apply this to almost everything we do? And I think that would be a great formula for many community organizations, nonprofits, schools, or even small businesses to kind of take that step back and say, what else can we be doing? I'm not going to go too deep into that right now, but I'm going to let that hover a little bit for our listeners, because I also want to talk about how you are, I'm so glad, sticking with us for our second hour. And we are also going to be welcoming another guest, Colleen Alucci, who is the Southeast Arizona Regional Director of the Arizona Community Foundation. She is not new to the organization, has been there in a number of years, but has been holding this role for only about the last year or so. And the three of us are known amongst, with many others who we all know, of getting together and talking about a lot of issues. So I'm excited that that's going to be our focus for the second hour. With that, and with that example that you gave about the vaccines, I can imagine Davos and the World Economic Forum is looking very excitedly of having you on their agenda this coming January.
We were thrilled to be invited. And of course, immediately said yes.
How wonderful. So it is January, right? Yeah.
January 2026.
Fantastic.
Davos, here we come.
Well, we have lots to I bet you're going to be prepping a lot these next
here
6 months.
Here comes the rock.
Here comes the rock to Davos. Well, this has been an exciting first hour. Dennis, I'm so glad you're here in studio with Matt Neely and myself. And Matt, you've been nailing it on all of those song choices, of course. Helping us make it rain with a little bit of music.
I know, that's right.
And we are hoping that our weather's going to go in the direction that we want. We know it'll be hot today, only 10% chance, but starting tomorrow,
oh gosh, let's hope so.
Those raindrops seem like they're going to be a lot more possible.
We can use it, can't we?
We sure can.
Well, Colleen's here and she's ready to go, so we're going to take a little break and hit the news, and we'll be right back. And by the way, if you'd like, you can watch on Facebook or YouTube. We're streaming the show live on Facebook and YouTube, as well as right here on 1030 The Voice. And 1030 The Voice is the name of the Facebook and YouTube pages to go to. So we'll see you there. You can see your voice, Lydia. It's summertime.
It's summertime.
And you can see your voice.
I can see my voice. Good morning. This is Rainmakers on Monday, June 30th. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. And Matt Neely, you're continuing to do a great job behind the screen.
I have faith in you that your Rainmakers theme will work this week.
You know what? We're going to go for it. We are just giving it our all, and it sounds like already the percentages.
You full credit.
Yeah, there you go.
Full credit.
Oh, no. Oh, no. But we'll take it. We'll take the rain and we'll take the credit. I'm so excited to have in studio, continuing from our first hour, our guest, Dennis Walto. Dennis, hi, and hey. I'm so glad you're staying for this second hour. Dennis, for our listeners who may or may not be aware, is Chief External Affairs Officer for Chiricahua Community Health Centers and Executive Director of Chiricahua Health Foundation.
Got it.
And we have had a wonderful time speaking about global health at home, what it means to provide full care, lots of care, attack issues, provide solutions that are collaborative, that take into account all of the participants, as well as those who are supporting or our stakeholders or our funding, and trying to anticipate the things that we haven't yet thought of, using a little bit of insight, innovation, and integration. And it's been quite a great first hour. Thanks again, Dennis.
Oh, sure.
And I anticipate that we're going to continue this conversation, because we have joining us now in this second hour here in studio, Colleen Ilucci. Colleen is the Southeast Arizona Regional Director with Arizona Community Foundation. We were giving you a little bit of kudos before you even got in here. Colleen, so nice to have you here this morning.
So happy to be here. Thank you.
We are excited, and I know that this is kind of like old home week for all of us, and in full transparency to our listeners, the three of us get together on a few occasions and try to stir up some good trouble. Usually it has to do with what's happening out in rural Arizona, what's happening in our border communities, how are we tackling such enormous concepts, issues, topics, themes like wellness and health. And of course, that's something we're talking about today. But we speak about that often, not just in the straightforward health issues and wellness issues, but we talk about what does this mean by way of career development for those who might be wanting to go into these kind of careers. Where can they go and get training? What kind of programs are available? Who needs scholarships? What's happening with the nonprofits and the other agencies that are coming together with that? And that's just one other aspect of wellness and health. We talk about small businesses that may be in a direct or ancillary role, or might be in an industry that serves our community. And we put our heads together an awful lot to say, how do all of us collectively and independently do this a little bit better? So Colleen, I'm looking forward to hearing a lot more for our listeners about what Arizona Community Foundation may be doing, maybe not just historically what's been going on, but what are some new and exciting things that might be happening here? So before we get you right on that spot, we're going to go back to Dennis for a minute. I'm going to go back to something we were talking about as we closed the first hour. We had mentioned that with the three I's, with the strategic approach to mission, that Chiricahua is really providing global health at home with its approach, with your insights and leadership, and with all of your colleagues and the other folks that work at the centers and also help fund some of the things at your foundation. And that's caught the attention more than once of the UN, of the World Economic Forum. You're about to go off in January. I know that sounds like a long ways away, but we're already halfway through 2025. You're going to go off and be speaking about these, maybe even giving some examples, and maybe by then even have some new pilots going on. Anything else that you want to touch on by way of prepping for Davos that you might be speaking about that our listeners might be interested in knowing?
I think that in the spirit of really the Rainmakers show, we often hear about what's wrong in rural America, what's wrong in the rural and border communities. Mm-hmm. But part of my job and part of what Chiricahua is able to demonstrate is what's right.
That's right.
What are we doing that is innovative, that's being talked about beyond the rock, beyond the Republic of Cochise County? It's taking the attention of people at the UN General Assembly, at the World Economic Forum. And this is really, this is our highest aspiration. We want to attract people to Cochise County because of what's happening there in a positive way, mm-hmm. not just because of the need, but because of the response.
So well put. I love that. And it really frames up well when we start to think about strategic alliances and stakeholders and support. And I think that's a nice way to bring in Colleen. Again, Colleen, I'm so excited to have you here this morning. You are here in Tucson and also cover all across Southern Arizona, Southeast Arizona, I should say, although you have great colleagues in other parts of Southern Arizona on the west side. Tell us a little bit about ACF's role, Arizona Community Foundation's role in supporting or strategizing with groups like Chiricahua to bring solutions to light.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, our mission is to mobilize enduring philanthropy for a better Arizona. So that's very broad. We do work statewide, but I have the opportunity to focus on our little corner here in Southeast Arizona. Mm-hmm. Not so little.
Not so vast.
So we really do a lot of things. We work really closely with the nonprofit organizations in the community, which includes some of the local governments and agencies. And we try to position ourselves as matchmakers. So we try to find philanthropic goals, philanthropic opportunities, but we really want to listen and understand what the needs and desires and goals are of certain communities and find funding that can really support and really make a deep impact in some of those areas.
That's fantastic. And I think one of the things that I love about mobilizing, you said mobilizing enduring philanthropy. So what that says to me is you're looking at obviously something not being static, not just we have these things or funders have historically provided funds for .. but you're also saying what else could we be doing, first of all, with those things that exist? How might we be, and I'm going to go back to the three I's that we talked about, you know, what are some insights that might lead us to some innovation so that we can integrate bigger, better, different, stronger, you know, whatever that might be. But enduring, you know, sustainability is a big deal. There's nothing wrong with one-hit wonders. They often make a huge difference and can be the catalyst for a lot of other innovative approaches. But it sounds like intentionally, there's another I word, intentionally, the Community Foundation might be looking to say, how do we make sure it lasts? How do we make sure it's not just a wonderful one-hit wonder? How does that come about? Is that you and certainly your colleagues and funders in a room? But I think I recall some new development or new expansion of some of your advisors hired in to the Community Foundation, but also like advisory councils, other stakeholders.
Absolutely, yeah. So we are a pretty large team. And so we will partner with individuals, families, corporations to really carry out some of their charitable giving goals. Mm-hmm. So that's one aspect of the work that we do. Then we have our statewide colleagues, our community impact team, our regional team within ACF. And then we really lean on local volunteers in the community. So we're talking about Cochise County. We have a pretty large advisory board of local community members. We work really hard to get folks from around the county, again, the vast geography, to sort of be the local representatives, to be the voice, to share insights and really advise us on where some of those most pressing needs are, but where some of the opportunities might be as well.
Fantastic. And Dennis, so I can see both of you nodding to each other with this, and it brings to mind a couple of things. I mentioned at the top that we three have come together on a number of different issues, but one of the things that Arizona Community Foundation in Southeast Arizona has led and convened on an annual basis is Border Philanthropy Summit. And a summit might be, I would call it a summit, but tell our listeners a little bit more about that. And then Dennis, I'm going to switch to you about you recently convening some folks here in Tucson. So Colleen, what's the history about focusing on borderland philanthropy?
So Arizona Community Foundation has been a partner of the Border Philanthropy Partnership for years and years. And as I mentioned, some of our local advisory boards, again, since the 90s, have really been working and supporting some of the organizations that serve both Southern Arizona and Northern Mexico. So that was not a brand new idea, but it was an idea a few years back when I first started with ACF that we wanted to sort of reignite and get back to those roots and sort of lift up some of those programs and projects. And we were hearing, you know, there's organizations in Southern Arizona that also serve Northern Mexico, and there's organizations in Northern Mexico that also serve Southern Arizona.
That's so right.
How do we come together and just share ideas? What are some of the challenges, but what are some of the opportunities there too? So I think we're going on 4 or 5 years now. The first one was virtual during, you know, COVID
right,
years.
During the pandemic.
So that was just a space for the nonprofits to come together. And we just got such wonderful feedback that like, okay, we crave the space to share ideas, to come together. So we just continued to host it. The last one was in December in Douglas, Arizona. The topic was really around the environment, but that was more of like a holistic approach. So where does the health aspect come in? Where does the arts and culture aspect come in? And so
education
we had,
always being a big part of that. And in fact, I remember it was hosted at the Cochise College campus in the Douglas campus. So that was exciting. I'm going to pause right there only because we're getting ready to go on a break, but it reminds me of just last Friday, Thursday and Friday, the Arizona-Mexico Commission had its 66th summit, and it was, yeah, I know it toggles between Arizona and Sonora, so it was up in the valley this time around, and it was so exciting. I know that you were there. We can talk a little bit about that when we come back, but I think same kind of approach. Sonora and Arizona coming together to really exchange ideas and to provide support. So listen up. We're going to go on a quick break. This is Rainmakers, KVOI, 10:30 a.m. News Corporation rocking the boat, and that's kind of what we're doing here at Rainmakers this morning as we wrap up a fantastic June. It is Monday, June 30th. We are halfway through 2025, and Matt, I cannot believe it, but I'm loving hearing the news of the cicadas. It means the rain's on its way.
I got that straight from Rain Patrol Girl, so
there we go. We're on track. In studio with us this morning, we've been having a lot of fun with Dennis Walta of Chiricahua Community Health Centers and Health Foundation, and Colleen Lucci from the Arizona Community Foundation. She is the director of Southeast Arizona in that organization, has held other roles before that with the Community Foundation. So great to have you here, Colleen. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And right before the break, we were talking a little bit about the enduring philanthropy, the mission that ACF, Arizona Community Foundation, has had in mobilizing enduring philanthropy in many communities and is paying particular attention to all of greater Arizona. And so this morning, as we talk about Southern Arizona and the role, right before the break, we talked about the relationship with, or the, excuse me, the, oh, what I want to say, the putting on, hosting the Border Philanthropy Partnership annual event, and how that had gone through a lot of different phases and now is kind of back meeting in person. It had gone to virtual for a while. And Dennis, Colleen was talking a little bit about that. And Dennis, I was going to ask you, so what role has that event on an annual basis held for organizations like Chiricahua?
I think convenings of any sort offer the opportunity for stakeholders, community stakeholders, mm-hmm. to come together, to share ideas. And you remember that third eye, right? You can't do it alone. We've got to be able to then integrate mm-hmm. any kind of promising programming or practice more broadly, hopefully even impacting policy. And I think the Border Philanthropy Project has been very effective at representing the best of the borderlands, both within the borderlands and in Washington, which is critically important. I'll add one more thing about the Border Philanthropy Project, and it's no credit to me, but my daughter works there in San Diego. So unbeknownst to me, at some point she applied and said, hey, have you ever heard of this organization?
Oh, goodness, you said, have I ever? And Colleen, we have had Andy, the head of the Border Philanthropy Project,
Partnership,
out almost every year, I think, when that summit takes place. But tell her, you were saying a little bit before about the most recent, this last December, was held in Douglas. I know the year before that, we were out in the Sonoyta, area, and it's been fantastic. But what has that annual convening brought to the organizations that participate? One of the things that comes to my mind is the fact that we all get to see each other up close and personal without a lot of hard or rigid expectation, but you often put us into speaking circles with each other and we mix it up a bit so that we can just share ideas, kind of almost like random ideas that then start to take form.
I think, especially in the nonprofit sector, but we get so busy and we're so focused and we have all these goals that we're trying to accomplish and things, you know, are flying at us. So it's a fast-paced environment. So sometimes we're operating in silos or we kind of have our head down, focused on what we're doing. And so this convening really provides an opportunity to sort of lift the head, hear from other people, mm-hmm. share inspiration and share opportunities and ideas. And so I think it's also really important that yes, we have those of us who work, you know, for the nonprofits themselves, but it's so important for community leaders to really understand what's happening, what the nonprofits are doing, and really what the huge value that they're bringing to community. So this sort of like cross-sector collaboration and everybody sharing perspective and ideas, and really there's been some amazing connections made that have kind of come to fruition outside of the convening. So we've heard of folks partnering up on certain events or certain programs and initiatives within their nonprofits that they didn't know, you know, some of the other nonprofits. So that was really an opportunity for them to come together and collaborate. So we're really excited when attendees share those stories. Folks tend to come back year mm-hmm. after year. Mm-hmm. They seem hungry for the space and the time together. So
it is a really nice fluid exchange of ideas and even questions. And Dennis, you brought up that this also brings forth sometimes policy or sometimes other kind of issues that might be practice or process. And for nationally or internationally for that matter. And we spoke about Andy Carey and the U.S.-Mexico Board of Philanthropy Partnership and the whole organization there and the whole approach to bringing together even like the Arizona-Mexico Commission and its annual summit. Things bubble up, and it gives all of us who are participating in these kind of exchanges perhaps a better framework to be able to take away some calls to action or other kinds of homework or just knowing that there's something that we can do and that we can speak to our representatives or we can collectively perhaps participate in some sort of Capitol Hill visit or send letters or whatever it might be that we're trying to either get more information on, make a difference on, or just sharing our voices. And to me, that's one of the best things that I don't know automatically that folks would think a community foundation helps with that. Because usually I think what the general community at large and lay people who maybe aren't in the middle of a business might look at a community foundation and think, well, they are providing solutions or providing funding or, you know, providing some sort of support. So it's info coming out, not necessarily being taken in and then being shared with the powers that be. And that's what I think makes it really exciting. You are being a conduit for other people's voices.
Absolutely. And that was really one of the goals when we started the convening was the opportunity and the space to share some of these really amazing, like encouraging, inspiring stories of the important work that folks like Chiricahua Community Health Centers is doing in the community.
Well, and earlier, Dennis, you were sharing one of the innovative approaches of tackling something like the importance of vaccines, whatever kind of the vaccine it might be, it's not that it was a big, huge deal, but it seemed like nobody was thinking about going to the dentist's office as a clinic for providing that. So it was an additional space to look at dental clinics and dentist office and other kind of dental exchanges, if you will. Makes me think of the dentist. There's like, you know how there's Doctors Without Borders? There's also dentists that provide dental and oral hygiene services across borders and across the globe. And so why wouldn't it make sense to do to provide vaccines for students or families or seniors or whatever it may be? But that was just, it was one of those that you go, oh, you know, duh.
The Board of Philanthropy Partnership provides a platform for organizations like Chiricahua to really talk about what's right and what's working. Mm-hmm. Not always be the recipient of either or criticism or bad news, but to really shout it out and to tell our own story. The vaccine integration program, Lydia, that you mentioned, has caught the attention statewide, in fact, of the Department of Public Health in this state, who now have written into their adolescent health strategic plan the availability of the HPV vaccine at dental clinics. So we're seeing that
not
integration.
Not something that would have been thought of, you know, previously as those two things coming together, it seems to me. And you know what? We're hearing our music, little double Dutch butts going on there. So we're going to hold on. Give me a ho if you want your funky bus fare.
Wow.
We're going to hold on that and come back and talk more about issues that come together in places we wouldn't have thought of before. So you're listening to Rainmakers, KVOI, The Morning Voice. And we're back. This is Lydia Aranda, your host for Rainmakers. It's Monday, June 30th. And in studio with me this morning is Colleen Ilucci, who is Southeast Arizona Regional Director for Arizona Community Foundation. Colleen, glad to have you here. And Dennis Walto is still with us since bright and early at 7 a.m. Dennis is Chief External Affairs Officer for Chiricahua Community Health Centers and Executive Director of Chiricahua Health Foundation. And we were speaking right before the break, right before we were hearing a little bit of Double Dutch Bus and coming back in with Let It Whip. Boy, you're taking me back to my high school years there, Matt. It's wonderful. We were talking about how convening nonprofits, community agencies, private sector, and the foundations that bring it all together can really make a difference in idea sharing, in collaborative opportunities, building funding, but also creating a voice for a region or a state to be able to realize that perhaps many of us are thinking of the same needs, and therefore collectively we are able to share those with our leaders, our elected officials, our budgeters, whoever that may be, maybe funders. Children's Action Alliance over the last couple of months has been extra active in their own advocacy here in Arizona about the importance of making sure that budgets are made available, that accessibility and availability to healthcare, to food and nutrition assistance, to programs like Medicaid are there. And I'm going to quote January Contreras, the CEO, of saying these kind of programs are a moment in time, and they need to be there when people need it. You know, the service or the resource needs to be there for you, for our loved ones, for ourselves, for whoever is going to need it at a time of crisis, because we never really know when the crisis is going to happen. I think not only in the straightforward healthcare and vaccines and dental care and behavioral health care and all these other things that often private foundations sometimes shy away from support for those things. I think that really comes together with a bigger impact, that being the economic development impact, especially in a state like Southern, like Arizona, and in a region like Southern Arizona, where healthcare, medical tourism, and all those kinds of things are really prominent in our region. So, Colleen, you know, was that an eye opener when the community foundation started to see, or hear, I should say, these kind of topics come up in some of these convenings?
I think absolutely. I mean, funding is always a challenge, and nonprofits are always working diligently to try to, you know, diversify their funding streams, find, you know, the funding that they need to really run those programs. But here in Arizona, don't quote me on this, but we're roughly about the sixth largest industry, the nonprofit industry. Mm-hmm. So it employs a lot of folks as well. So those are not only just job opportunities, but those jobs are providing critical services to the communities, especially in rural Arizona. So one of our big roles, I think, as the Arizona Community Foundation is to help support those nonprofits to make sure they thrive. So we do so by providing some educational resources. We have free planned giving workshops so that nonprofits can learn to work with their donors and create some, you know, unique opportunities to accept maybe some complex assets and that type of thing. But
good. But those are so helpful, not only to the nonprofits themselves, but the employees or their staff or their constituents also might start thinking about planned giving a little bit differently too.
Absolutely. And then, you know, on top of that, it's, you know, the grants and the scholarships that we're able to award, but really making sure to lift the voices up and the needs up so that, you know, funders are aware of the opportunities to invest in those programs.
That's so fantastic. And Dennis, so you're, I am going to imagine that your organization, organizations, because both the center itself and the foundation side are probably learning a lot of things from these convenings as well. What's the economic development aspect or perspective that you get to talk about with your folks?
Well, Chiricahua Community Health Centers is a federally qualified health center, mm-hmm. Qualified. We're not a government entity. We're a 501c3 not-for-profit organization. Mm-hmm. Some of the matchmaking that Colleen and her team do benefit organizations like Chiricahua. We're able to match donor desires with programming and impact. And they're great at bringing those two together, you know, where 1 + 1 = 3. So we are a very large organization in the Republic of Cochise County, in The Rock. We're among the top 10 employers, in fact. And every 2 weeks, we inject more than $1.1 million just in payroll into the local economy.
That's economic
huge.
Impact right there.
And this is money that isn't recirculated. This is money coming in from outside and suddenly now gets recirculated inside of The Rock, inside Cochise County. So, in fact, 3 of the top 10 employers in Cochise County are healthcare organizations.
Well, it's such a big industry here in Arizona, as across the state, you know, in all corners, but particularly here in southern Arizona, it seems like we have a lot that are going on in healthcare and the supporting services and products, opportunities, you know, with medical tourism and just other things that have to do with wellness, agriculture, you know, good food sources, things like that. We have that, and yet at the same time, it's a challenge because it is a rural area. And when communities are apart by distance, you know, when they are not so close together, then sometimes the availability of food or supplements or medicines and therapies or any of those kind of things can really be a challenge. Earlier in the year, we had Eileen Klein, our former state treasurer and the president of the Arizona Chamber Foundation, speak to us and provide about a report that that foundation was commissioned to research, and she was telling us the results of some of that from an economic development perspective, that if budgets go away for providing a lot of essential services and supplemental services, the impact is not just straightforward that suddenly those services aren't there. It really has the impact also of either workers in those industries. If those industries shrink because budgets aren't there to provide the services. I mean, you just talked about it, Dennis. I mean, over $1 million every 2 weeks being put back into the economy via payroll so that people will go out and spend. You know, that's a big deal if that goes away, much less than people not being healthy enough or not having the kind of support or services or food that they need to then be their best self and be fully performing workers and employees or students and things of that nature. So I'm going to imagine, Colleen, that you and your colleagues at all across the community foundation statewide and even your boards of directors and your funders are looking at some of these issues and scratching your heads, also saying we need to make sure to look at this holistically. And what that does for you and your daily job, I'm going to imagine, is taking a lot of information in, but also getting it out to your constituents and your stakeholders. You know, how do you manage that? Because you're a lean team in your particular division, is that right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we always say it's so important for us to be in community, to show up at community events, not just the convenings that we host, but to listen, to to connect with partners like Dennis and Chiricahua and all of the nonprofits in the community so that we can take that information back to our team statewide and say, hey, this is what we're hearing from the community. I mean, that listening aspect is so important. And then really when we're working with our partners and donors and, you know, funding partners, really having that opportunity to say, hey, when they ask the questions, hey, we've been in community, we know what some of the challenges are and what some of the opportunities for investment are. So it's, you know, it keeps us busy, but it's really the fun part of our work as well.
I would imagine. And you have quite a lot of folks. ACF is in all four corners of the state, which is great, but also has a very big team headquartered out of Phoenix, but I think is really dependent on you and your counterparts, Veronica, in Yuma and some of the other areas up north. Coming together, not only yourselves, but like you said, with some of your partners like Dennis and the Chiricahua Community Center, other folks, like several of us sit on different boards, or I'm going to give a little shout out to the ladies group, the Latina Leaders of Southern Arizona, circle, if you will, of leaders that you convene. And we've gotten together about three times now, I think, with that group, which is about 22 ladies, I want to say, who are running or otherwise overseeing very essential organizations that are making a big impact. You've got some school foundations, Girl Scouts, folks who are in workforce. Some of us are in philanthropy. Some of us are in other kinds of small business supporting type of roles. And then a combination of roles. So it's really interesting every time we get together and get to share whatever the latest is on our mind. I was thinking some of the attorneys in the room that help bring up some important issues as well. Okay. Is that something that you think is going to keep going for Southern Arizona, is having this the ladies circle and maybe even some men's circles as well?
Oh, what a good idea, Lydia. Yeah, I mean, I think this idea of us coming together, I know we're all busy, so we always try to strategize and say, like, what time of year is the best. But I do think this, I mean, how do you feel when you leave those?
I always feel very inspired. I feel calm at knowing that I've got some other colleagues who maybe are facing some of the same challenges and or may have some really great ideas that they've shared or that I want to share with them. So I feel really encouraged. And I'm going to go back to Dennis talking about his three eyes. From that, we get a lot of insight and share insight with each other, and innovation comes out of that, and then we are always talking about how we integrate. So, Dennis, how about out of the Chiricahua? Actually, I'm going to hold that question because we're about to go to a commercial break, but when we come back, maybe you can tell us of some way or some new convening that maybe Chiricahua is doing or that you're doing at the Chiricahua Foundation.
Sure.
So hold that thought. You're listening to Rainmakers. And we're back for our final segment this wonderful Monday, June 30th on Rainmakers. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and this morning we've been speaking with Dennis Walto of Chiricahua Community Health Centers and Chiricahua Health Foundation, as well as Colleen Ilucci from the Arizona Community Foundation in Southeast Arizona region, and Matt Neely behind the glass keeping us honest and playing the groovy tunes. Matt, I think you would agree with me with this statement that we have had a really dynamic conversation this morning about a lot of things, including the dynamics of healthcare and providing health-related services and keeping communities healthy and wise.
Indeed, indeed. There's a lot of work out there to be done, and I'm so glad we've got these two folks and the people that work with them that are out there doing the good work. So thank you for all you do, both of you.
Absolutely. I so agree. And as we're wrapping up this segment, and we talked about it a few different times, there's a lot going on in community. There's a lot going on in our country. Budgets of all sorts are being talked about. And being able to look at that sometimes can get very myopic because we have to look at issues or sectors or policies. But the fact of the matter is, and Colleen and Dennis, you both were speaking about this, economic interdependence is really the reality of not just communities, but families and individuals and students. In other words, people live in integrated households. Even if they are a single person in their household, in their home, their household is integrated with a lot of issues. So, Dennis, how is one way that folks can remember to really take a look at how things are tackled? What is Chiricahua doing to really make sure that they're taking an integrated approach to economic interdependence?
Well, Chiricahua's main role, right, is whole person healthcare. Mm-hmm. So when you come into a clinic, you are going to be addressed as a whole person, as an individual, and we're going to look at every element of your life. The provider is going to ask you questions about, did you eat this morning? Are you hungry? How are your children? And we have a fund, in fact, for health-related social needs for things that we can't do. So even if it's something that Chiricahua and that provider can't address, say that you missed your rent for a month and you're about to be homeless, mm-hmm. Well, we're able to step in and address that and pay the landlord for you.
Isn't that wonderful? So it's another opportunity that I'm going to guess a lot of the community may not even know that Chiricahua is doing, and that's what makes a difference, the social determinants of health and being able, like you said, to look at whole family resiliency or whole people in their situation. Colleen, real quickly with the work that Arizona Community Foundation is doing, it seems to me you started right off at the beginning talking about mobilizing enduring philanthropy. Seems like that's what it's tackling just right there.
Absolutely. And we've actually been proud to support the Chiricahua Community Cares Fund through some of our work and our grant cycles. So absolutely.
It's making a difference. And like you said, Dennis, you know, looking at the whole aspect, I mean, this is what makes a difference, not just for Chiricahua constituents and patients or employees, and not just for Arizona Community Foundation targets, but we're talking about Cochise County, the Rock, as a whole, and Southern Arizona as a whole, and our state as a whole. So it's making a big difference because those ripples carry far. We are very quickly going to be wrapping up, but I wonder if I might ask each one of you, is there something you'd like to announce, or website, phone number, hashtag?
Yes, please. If you're really interested in learning more about how you can make an impact in the community that you care so deeply about, go to azfoundation.org. You can learn more. Again, you can find me on the website, Colleen Alucci, Southeast Regional Director, and you can call me, send me an email, whatever you like. I'm happy to connect.
Well, thank you so much for being here this morning. Dennis, any last shout out, last announcement, or where can people find you?
CCHCI.org. That's great. The best place to reach out and to learn more. And we have our annual benefit coming up that will be raising money for the Chiricahua Cares Fund, September 13th in Douglas, Arizona.
Yes.
It will be Phantom at the Gadsden.
Love it.
Well, so it'll be a night not to miss.
Well, Colleen, I think if you're like me already, I'm starting to plan my outfit.
Absolutely.
Thank you both so much for being on Rainmakers. You're helping wrap up a fabulous month and a fabulous first half of 2025. Rainmakers, we're hoping it'll get a little drippy out there on purpose. We need the moisture. Matt Neely, thanks so much for all you do. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. This is Rainmakers, KVOI, 10:30 a.m., the Morning Voice Positive Talk Radio. Stay tuned for more.